In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. And if you read the daily scripture readings, those words were found in the readings for Monday this week just passed. And I want to talk about the first two verses in that passage which contain those words and provide the context of those words. Because a lot of times when we hear a phrase about our faith, we hear it enough to where we think we understand it, but if you actually were asked to explain it to someone, you might really not understand it as well as you think you do just because you've heard it so many times. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. St. John Chrysostom points out that he prefaces his admonishment to these people by praising them. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed." So he acknowledges that they've done well up to this point, but now he's no longer with them. And so for those that maybe were behaving well because he was present, but might be tempted to not behave so well when he's absent, he's admonishing them to keep up that same level of obedience and to continue to work on their salvation, to grow in grace. And so before we talk about what someone else needs to do, or especially when we're suggesting that they're doing something wrong or if they're not doing something that they need to do, we should first point out the things that they're doing right. We should acknowledge the good things in people. It's very easy to see the negative in people, but there are very few people that you can't find some good in if you look. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So what does it mean to work out our salvation? The word work out, that's translated as work out in English, means that we're to bring it to completion. In a certain sense, we were saved when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, but also we were saved when we entered into the church and entered into the sacramental life of the church. But we are in the process of being saved as we work out our salvation. We have to bring it to completion. We have to continue daily to make something out of that salvation that God has given us and the grace that God has given us. The Christian life should be one of continuous growth towards our becoming like Christ. There are very many people who think that they enter the church, particularly Protestants, a lot of them that believe in once saved, always saved, say, okay, I'm saved, there's nothing else for me really to do. You would almost think that once people are saved, they might as well just take them out in the back and shoot them right then, because there's nothing more for them to do. But of course, they go to church, and for many people, they go to church so they can hear the pastor preach gospel messages, and they can kind of cheer him on as he tries to bring more people into the kingdom. But they really don't see their Christian life as being something that they need to make something of, that they need to do something. And that's not what it means to be a Christian. We're not just saved in a moment and we can do whatever we want after that. When we become Christians, we have to live out the Christian life if we really want to be saved. But why does he add the words with fear and trembling? Throughout the day, we engage in all kinds of activities that we should approach with fear and trembling. When you start your car and you start driving down the road, you know that you could be hit by someone or you could hit someone else. And so if you're paying attention, you're going to drive with a certain amount of care. It's not like you're terrified of driving down the road, or at least you shouldn't be, but you should approach it with respect for the fact that this is a dangerous activity if you're not careful. If you've ever seen someone who works with wood, very often you'll see that they're missing a finger or two because they've got these electrical saws that they use to cut their wood. And they know that machine really well. They cut wood all the time, but there comes that one day where they didn't respect the seriousness of that machine and the power that that machine had, and they were careless, and then a couple of fingertips go along with the wood, and then they're reminded that they need to approach this with a great deal of care. If you're a gun owner, and you might be even an expert marksman, you should know that every time you handle that gun, even though you know that gun really well, that that gun has the potential to seriously injure you or to kill you or to seriously injure or kill someone else. And even experts sometimes have accidents. And if you ask people, how did this accident happen, you're almost always going to hear, I wasn't paying attention. I got careless. Well, in our spiritual life, we can make a shipwreck of our faith if we're not careful. We have to realize that in the moment that we die, God is going to judge us in the state that we are in, and we don't know when that point is going to come. And so we should always live with the fear, not the terror, but the healthy fear that we could blow it, that we could turn away from God, that we could fall into sin, and we certainly don't want God to take us in our sins. So we need to live a life of repentance. The fathers say that if we keep death before us, we will never sin. And of course, it's difficult to do, but it's something that we need to strive to do. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 11, it says, serve ye the Lord with fear and rejoice in him with trembling. We have to worship God with a healthy fear and respect for God. We can't be careless about our worship. We can't be careless about how we live our life, which is another way that we serve the Lord. But the end of our serving God and our worshiping God is not that we will become miserable. The end is that we will rejoice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as it says in the Proverbs. The life of piety leads to the most profound happiness possible. And so there's a joy to that, but we are dealing with something of the utmost seriousness, the eternal destiny of our souls, our eternal salvation. And so we can't be careless. We can't treat it as a light thing. And then verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Having said that we should fear, that we should respect, that we should be careful about our salvation, St. Paul then turns and gives them some reason for comfort. And that's that it's not all on us. God is working in us both to will and to do. In other words, to desire to do what he wants us to do and then to actually to do it. Now, some people take this verse and they try to say, well, this means that we really don't have free will. If you're among the elect, if God decided before the foundation of the earth that you would be saved, then you don't have to worry about it because God's going to both will and do in your life. But if you're not among the elect, if you were destined to go to hell from all eternity, then there's nothing that you can do, so you shouldn't even try, because if God is not making you both will and do his good pleasure, then you're not going to be saved. But that's not the point that's being made by St. Paul, and the fathers that comment on this make this very point, because in the times of, say, St. John Chrysostom, there were heretical sects that taught that kind of determinism, that everything was basically decided beforehand, and that we really had no real free will. God wants us to be saved, and it is his good pleasure for us to both will and do what is right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. So if we cooperate with God, he will give us the grace to accomplish our salvation. But you might say, well, I'm trying to cooperate with God, and I don't feel like God has helped me to will and to do what he wants me to do. Well, what St. John Chrysostom says about this is basically that we have to do what we can. When we begin to do the right thing and we turn our hearts to the right things, God will be there to help us. But if we allow ourselves to fall into sin, then we will be increasingly disinclined to do the right thing. He says he does not deprive us of free will, but he shows that by actually doing right, we greatly increase our hardiness in willing. For as doing comes of doing, so of not doing comes not doing. Hast thou given an alms? Thou art the more incited to give. Hast thou refused to give? Thou art become so much the more disinclined. Hast thou practiced temperance for one day? Thou hast an incitement for the next likewise. Hast thou indulged to excess? Thou hast increased the inclination to self-indulgence. So there is a dynamic that kicks in, whether when we're doing evil, it's easier for us to continue to do evil. But if we turn to God sincerely and we ask him to give us the grace and we make the effort that we can to do the right thing, God will gradually continue to bestow on us His grace so that we will increasingly desire to do the right thing and increasingly be able to do the right thing. So let us serve the Lord with fear and rejoice in Him with trembling. Let us do the good that we know we should do and shun the evil that we know we must not do. Let us put our hand to the plow and break up the fallow ground of our heart, and God will increase our desire to do His will and will give us the strength that we lack, because that is His good pleasure. Amen.